offer an image this morning that encapsulates the story of the Exodus, because there is a certain mirroring that goes on, you know, especially at the beginning of the story. Moses and Aaron throw down their staffs, and the Egyptian magicians throw down their staffs. Moses and Aaron make blood from the Nile, and the Egyptian magicians try to make blood from the Nile. And then, as the plagues proceed, the mirroring gets reversed. And in particular, in the plague we read about this morning, Choshech, darkness, there is hidden what we might call the 11th plague. After all, what is it that the Israelites have suffered for hundreds of years? They've suffered from slavery. And throughout the plagues, blood, frogs, vermin, beasts, cattle disease, boils, hail and locusts, the Egyptians don't really know what it's like to be a slave. Various depredations are visited on them, but there is no plague of avdut, of slavery, that attacks the Egyptians until now. Because when Choshech strikes the Egyptians, when darkness strikes, the Torah tells us, Lo ra'u ish et achiv, one person couldn't see the next, Velo kamu ish metachtav shloshet yamim, and nobody got up from where they were sitting for 3 days. In other words, they were enslaved by the darkness. They couldn't see each other. They couldn't move. It was a taste for the Egyptians now of what it is to be a slave. And also a signal to us about the meaning of slavery and freedom. Because the Torah goes on to tell us that in all the houses of the Israelites, there was light. Slavery is darkness, and freedom is light. And that theme is not only the theme of the Exodus. Me'avdut lechirut, from slavery to freedom, is also me'choshech l'or, from darkness to light, but is the theme of the Torah and even of our tradition. The Zohar, the central book of Jewish mysticism, says at the very beginning, God produced a lamp of darkness. A lamp of darkness is a way of saying that light and darkness are intertwined in this world. Rav Aharon of Apt said, darkness is the throne on which light sits. You've got both. They're pervasive. They're all over the world. Sometimes, in simple political terms, there is slavery and there is darkness in much of the world. We have seen over the past weeks episodes of outbreaks of darkness, not only in the Middle East, but in Europe. And that darkness is a darkness we know. But it is only against the background of Choshech, of darkness, that one can bring light. You know, most painters will give a whitewash before they begin painting. They will spread white over the canvas. Leonardo counseled painters to spread black over the canvas. That should be the background out of which all illumination comes. After all, it was tohu vavohu. Everything was darkness and void, and God said, let there be light. Here, in one sentence, is the human drama of liberation and of freedom, the human struggle against darkness, the idea that everything contains its opposite. When Sarah dies, Rivka comes and it is light again, we are told in the tent of Isaac. Chashmal, the modern Hebrew word for electricity, comes from the prophets, in particular Ezekiel, who speak about the light that surrounds his mystical vision, and he calls it Chashmal, which, the Kabbalah tells us, is a split word meaning chash, which is silence, and mal, which is speech. That is, if you want to bring light into the world, first you have to be silent, collect yourself, understand what is going on, and then you must speak. I was going to close with a quote from Yeshayahu, from Isaiah, who says, Ha'am ha'ochim b'choshech ra'u or gadol. This people that walked in darkness, that knew slavery and knew pain, saw a great light. And speak about what that is to bring light into our lives. But of course, in the Jewish tradition, it is to bring God and Torah into our lives, to live a life of spirit, to know what is highest and best in us and in others, and to be able to pause for the moment of chash, to take stock, to look inside ourselves, to examine others, and then mal, and then to speak. But after I heard Rabbi Kimmelman, I decided on a different ending. Because Rabbi Kimmelman so beautifully explicated this morning, Ahava Rabbah, the prayer in which we are told in no uncertain terms that God loves us. And it put me in mind of the bracha, of the blessing that we say, the line that comes right before Ahava Rabbah. Right before we say the prayer that God loves us, we say, Baruch Ata Adonai, blessed are you, O God, Yotzer HaMeorot, the creator of lights. That could refer to the heavens, but it might also refer to us. That we are the lights of the world. And in moments when we feel our own light flicker, when we see the darkness of the world and we feel despair, all we need do is turn the page and we hear, Ahava Rabbah Ahavtanu. God loves you dearly. Don't let your light go out. Shabbat Shalom.